Well, let's read Colossians 2, verses 8 through 10. In these verses, Paul warns the Colossian believers not to be taken in by a philosophy or worldview which is not Christ-centered. Colossians chapter 2, verse 8. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, who is the head of all principality and power. Let's mention a few background notes that will help us understand what Paul is driving at in these verses, and ultimately will help us understand what God is teaching us through these verses. Remember that the great theme of Colossians, as we've seen, is the supremacy and all-sufficiency of Christ. We've seen that this great theme emerges from this book of Colossians because Paul is writing to the Colossian believers to warn them about some false teaching that's circulating in their area. We've seen that this false teaching was a mixture of Judaism and what later became known as Gnosticism. And the chief error of this false teaching was that it lowered the personal work of Christ. Christ was not fully God. Christ was not supreme. Christ was not all-sufficient. That false teaching is soundly refuted throughout the book of Colossians. Certainly in these three verses that we've just read, we see that this false teaching is refuted in no uncertain terms. And that then brings us to our doctrinal point from these three verses. Let's make our first doctrinal point the great theme of Colossians. Christ is supreme and all-sufficient. Christ is supreme and all-sufficient. Look once again at verses 9 and 10. For in him, that is in Christ, dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you are complete in him, who is the head of all principality and power. You couldn't say it any plainer. Christ is supreme and all-sufficient. There in verse 9, you couldn't say that Jesus is fully God in a more complete and concise and precise way than it's said right here. Notice the verse again. In him, in Christ, dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. All the fullness of deity bodily. Jesus is fully God. It's not like the New World Translation of the Jehovah Witnesses says all the divine qualities. No. All the fullness of the Godhead, all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. You couldn't say it plainer than that, that Jesus is fully God. And then look at the end of verse 10, who is the head of all principality and power. You couldn't state the supremacy of Christ any clearer than that. He is the head of all principality and power. As the Lord said in Matthew 28, verse 18, all authority is given unto me in heaven and on earth. And then in the first part of verse 10, you see the all-sufficiency of Christ. You are complete in him. You couldn't put forth the all-sufficiency of Christ any clearer than that, any more straightforward than what is said right here. Not only in Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, verse 3, but in him you are complete. Christ is all sufficient. All that your soul could ever possibly want for happiness, for peace, for joy, for satisfaction, for rest, for challenge, for motivation, for strength, or for whatever else you want or need, all is found in Christ. Christ is all sufficient. You don't have to add material possessions. You don't have to add this world's experiences of pleasure. You don't have to add Eastern meditation. You don't have to add even Chicago Blackhawk victories. All that you ever need or want is found in Christ. Christ is supreme and all-sufficient. Doctrinal point number two. Worldviews that are not Christ-centered are false. Worldviews or philosophies that are not Christ-centered are false. Look again at verse 8. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. Don't be taken in. Don't be cheated. Don't be spoiled. Don't be taken captive by philosophy that's not Christ-centered. Now, Paul is not tearing down the study of philosophy here. He's refuting philosophy or worldviews that are not Christ-centered. Definition of philosophy, love of wisdom, simple definition, love of wisdom. A working definition of philosophy is how you put it all together, your set of presuppositions, your worldview. Everyone has a philosophy of life, even though they haven't studied philosophy at college. A person's worldview or set of presuppositions or philosophy is like a grid in a person's mind. All data is filtered through that grid, that set of presuppositions. And the data is interpreted on the basis of that grid or set of presuppositions or worldview or philosophy. Illustration. Did you ever hear about the man who thought he was dead? He was going around saying, "I'm dead." People were saying, "You're not dead. You're walking around. You're alive." "No, I'm dead." Finally, he went to a doctor, and this doctor convinced him that dead people don't bleed. "Are you convinced?" said the doctor to the man. "Dead people don't bleed?" "Yep, dead people don't bleed." At that, the doctor picked up a pin and pricked his finger, and the man was bleeding. The doctor said, "There, you're alive." Guess what the man said? "Well, I'll be. Dead people bleed after all." See, his set of presuppositions. The man's worldview or philosophy or set of presuppositions included the idea that he was dead. Therefore, all incoming data, whether bleeding from a pricked finger or whatever, was interpreted with that basic presupposition. Worldviews that are not Christ-centered are false. Now we see in this verse, verse 8, that worldviews that are not Christ-centered are false because of four reasons that are brought out. Because they're empty, because they're deceptive, because they're man-made, and because they're too basic. Worldviews that are not Christ-centered are false because they are empty or futile. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit. Worldviews that are not Christ-centered are empty. Ultimately, they're a big zero. They're futile. Take humanism, for example. The ism that man is the measure. Humanism is not Christ-centered. God is left out. You notice even the Girl Scout pledge now, it's optional. You can put God in or leave God out. It's the result of humanism. Ultimately, it's empty. If we all started from nothing and we're going nowhere, what difference does it make in between? Worldviews that are not Christ-centered are false because they are empty. Ultimately, they are futile. Secondly, they're deceptive. Empty deceit. That's the reason why so many translations have the word captive here. It's the idea of being deceived, being taken captive. The New Age philosophy, take that worldview. That's very deceptive because it does admit that there is the supernatural. It does admit that there is the spirit world. So it's deceptive in that way. It's not denying the spiritual side, but it denies the biblical truths. It denies the God of the Bible. It denies the truth of sin and that salvation is only through Christ. But it's very deceptive. As you know, many people are being sucked into that worldview today. Thirdly, worldviews that are not Christ-centered are false because they are man-made according to the tradition of men. Take the theory of evolution, for example, as a worldview or as a philosophy. That's not based on evidence. Theory of evolution is not based on evidence from the fossil record or from the laboratory. Evolution, that idea that the lower, less complex, goes by itself to the higher, more complex through time and chance. The theory of evolution is not based on evidence. But you see, if you leave out God in a worldview that's not Christ-centered, and you leave out God, you got to come up with something. Thus, the theory of evolution, not based on evidence, but as an alternative to a creator. Fourthly, we see that a worldview that is not Christ-centered is false because it's too basic. Notice verse 8 once again. According to the basic principles of the world and not according to Christ. This idea in elementary or rudimentary or basic. It's the idea that worldviews that are not Christ-centered are too small. They fall short of explaining everything. They're too basic. Naturalism, for example, that worldview does explain some things. Explains the laws of nature and so forth, but it can't explain miracles. It's too small. It's too basic. Only the biblical Christ-centered worldview ties up all the loose ends, explains everything, explains stars, explains angels, good and bad angels, explains man, explains salvation, explains eternity, explains everything. Worldviews that are not Christ-centered are too basic. Worldviews that are not Christ-centered are false because they are empty, because they are deceptive, because they are man-made, because they are too basic. Practical application comes right out of our doctrinal point. Don't be kidnapped by philosophies which are not Christ-centered. Don't be kidnapped by philosophies which are not Christ-centered. Kidnapped, that's really the idea in this word, taken captive or cheated or spoiled. Beware lest anyone cheat you, spoil you, take you captive, take you and kidnap you. You're carried off as a captive. Now, I want to make this application particularly for young people, college-age young people here this morning, but it can apply to everyone. I want you to think of a jigsaw puzzle. The puzzle represents truth. Each piece in the jigsaw puzzle represents a piece of truth, and it all fits together. Now, when you do a jigsaw puzzle, what do? You do the edges, right? Because everything fits into that framework. The framework represents, in this illustration, the biblical worldview, Christ-centered biblical worldview. And all the pieces fit properly into that worldview. For example, you could be doing a puzzle and maybe there's a white house or a red barn, and you put that together first, and then you look around for where it fits into the framework, and you put it in there properly, and then all the other pieces fit properly. Now, to carry this illustration to the college campus, here's what happens. A Christian young person, say, leaves this fellowship of believers and goes off to the secular college campus. And there they meet Dr. Mathematics or Dr. Science. And that particular man or woman really has it all together in their area of specialty. Calculus, differential equations, their specialty in science and so forth. So that Christian young person, maybe even from this fellowship here, begins to be wowed by this professor. Wow, he's got it all together. He must really have the framework right as well. No, that's a wrong conclusion. That professor does have a worldview, does have a framework. And if they're not a Christian, it's not a biblical worldview. But invariably, they will begin to philosophize in class. And they begin to, in the terms of the illustration, fit their area, the White House or the Red Barn, into their own framework. They force it. They do what's known in the puzzle trade as piece pounding. Or maybe even get out the penknife and kind of whittle around on some of those pieces and make it fit, but it leaves holes. It doesn't all fit together. Well, that's what happens. And yet, that Christian young person is deceived, kidnapped into a worldview that's not Christ-centered because, well, if this professor, Dr. Mathematics, Dr. Science, has it all together in his area, he must also have the framework right as well. No, wrong conclusion. If they don't have a Christ-centered worldview, they have the wrong framework. Let's not be kidnapped by philosophies which are not Christ-centered.